Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our epistle reading from Romans 10, and we're focusing on verses 16 and 17. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You may be seated. We're finishing our series on tensions, and this whole series has been about kind of two at the same time and yet kind of opposing things that go on in the life of the Christian until the Lord comes again. And today we are focusing on thy strong word and how it can be resisted. It reminds me of a story that I've told a number of times, and you may have heard it, but it definitely bears hearing again now at this point, about a pastor who had a member at his church down in Pagosa Springs, Colorado. And he would have like coffee with his neighbor once a week. Now, his neighbor is not like city dwellers here where, you know, it's like right next door. His neighbor was about half a mile away in the woods there. But they would get together and they would just, you know, talk shop. Hey, what's going on? How are you doing? Talk about world events. But this member would share his faith. He would share the good news of Jesus Christ with his neighbor. But his neighbor just kind of said, all right, that's good. No, I don't want to hear that anymore. It varied, you know, just from outright, no, I don't want to hear it, to, look, let's talk about something else. What astonished me was that this member of this church did this for 22 straight years. 22 years he shared the gospel with his neighbor, and 22 years this neighbor pushed it away. You know, there's many reasons why you and I don't share the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people. We're too busy, you know, life gets in the way, and we're just like, okay, I don't have time for this. We don't know what to say, right? We don't know what to say to people, especially in this day and age. We don't know if we want to say anything in this day and age. One valid reason is, you know what? I just know Christians. I don't really know anyone who is an unbeliever, so I don't really need to share the gospel, except, you know, when they're going through a rough time or something, yeah. But one of the biggest reasons, I believe, is others can resist it. It's hard to share the good news with others when they resist it. When they reject it, when they don't respond to it. But don't worry, this is nothing new under the sun. Humans have been rejecting God's word, resisting it, ever since Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve resisted the word of the Lord, ate the fruit of the tree, and now we're plunged into a bunch of sinful chaos here in our world. But it continued, even after God called Abraham, you remember, the man of faith, right? Even he ended up resisting the word. No, I'm going to do it this way, Lord. And his descendants, they too resisted the word of the Lord. They resisted the good news that God would give them. And just, it kept going and it kept going and it kept going right on down to our text from Paul's letter to the Romans. And what's interesting is that in our text, Paul presents to us an all-powerful word. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This word has the power to save. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. This word has the power to unite people. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And how? How do these people call on the name of the Lord? How are they saved? How are they united? Well, he goes on. He says, people are sent to others. They are sent to preach, to proclaim the good news to them. And when they hear it, they believe it. They call upon the name of the Lord, and they are saved. That's how powerful the word of Christ is. That's how powerful the good news of Jesus is for you and me. But it's like a record scratch right in the middle of this. But Paul also includes verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. The word obeyed, that's a very problematic translation. You know, none of our obedience gets us into heaven. Our works, nothing counts before God. It's all his work for our salvation. A better way of looking at it is, but they have not all listened responsively to the gospel. And then he goes on to quote Isaiah, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So essentially what that passage is that Isaiah is saying, your Messiah, your King is coming to you. He's going to save you out of exile. But he's coming in lowliness, in humility, and he's going to sacrifice himself for you. Really? That's crazy talk. Who could blame any of them for this? God coming in the flesh? And coming in the flesh, he is now hanged on a tree, which means he is cursed by God? Salvation through weakness? Unbelievable. And there's the tension. This word of Christ has the power to save, has the power to make everyone 100% righteous before God. It even has the power to raise the dead. And yet there are still those who resist it, reject it, and do not respond to it. How? How can this be possible? Well, maybe we need to ask the question, why is it good news? Why is it good news? I mean, let's take the gospel and reduce it down to its nutshell form in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life, right? Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. But what happens when this word of Christ hits the ears of sinners who don't think they need to be saved? What happens when it hits the ears of the self-righteous who think, you know what? I'm good enough. I'm good. What happens when it hits the ears of those who have put their faith in these words? Oh, just try harder. Just do more. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can succeed, you can accomplish, you can do anything you put yourself to. You can save yourself. What happens when the word of Christ, the good news of Jesus, hits their ears? Well, they're going to resist it. They're going to reject it, and they will not respond to it. I mean, no one wants to hear the good news of Jesus Christ when they are too busy trying to impress God, impress others by what they do. No one wants to hear the good news when they're too busy trying to make themselves righteous on their own terms. No one wants to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus saves sinners, when they are too busy trying to save themselves, save their marriages, save their families, save their neighborhoods, save their nation, save the world, save everything by their own sweat and blood. No, they don't want to hear it. And you know this with others. Oh, this happens with others. You try to share your faith, you try to share the good news, and they're just like, possibly politely, possibly very angrily, they say, no thanks, that's good for you, I don't need it. It happens to you and me. The good news of Jesus Christ, your sin is forgiven. No, it's not. No, it's too bad. It's too horrible. And I need to do something to make up for it. It happens with every single sinner. And it makes you wonder, is the word of Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, is it really all that powerful? Well, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is recorded in Mark. And this is when Jesus calls Levi the tax collector, right? He's walking along, he's recruiting his disciples, he walks by Levi, the tax collector, you know, a sinner, an outcast, a pariah, everyone hates him, everyone wants him dead, and yet he has all this power, he's going against the nation, and on and on. And look what happens. Jesus stops, looks at him, and all he says to him is this, follow me. That's the only word that he gives him. Boom, packs up his stuff, leaves the tax collecting business, and follows Jesus. Wow, what an all-powerful word. But there are those that resist that all-powerful word, and those are the Pharisees and the scribes who see Jesus go into the house of Levi, and they're eating and drinking and having fellowship, and the Pharisees can't stand it. They're like, what are you doing, Jesus, hanging out with these sinners and these outcasts? And look what Jesus says. It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. It's as Brennan Manning in his book, The Ragamuffin Gospel, puts it, justification by grace through faith is the theologian's learned phrase for what Chesterton once called the furious love of God. He is not moody or capricious. He knows no seasons of change. He has a single relentless stance toward us. He loves us. He is the only God man has ever heard of who loves sinners. False gods, the gods of human manufacturing, despise sinners, but the Father of Jesus loves all no matter what they do. But of course, this is almost too incredible for us to accept. Nevertheless, the central affirmation of the Reformation stands, through no merit of ours, but by his mercy, we have been restored to a right relationship with God through the life, death, and resurrection of his beloved Son. This is the good news, the gospel of grace. The power behind the word of Christ is Christ, who he is, and what he has done for sinners. Look at the gospel again. Jesus Christ came into the world. He took on our flesh. He went to the cross to die for our sin. He rose again to make us righteous before God. Jesus Christ saves sinners. That's the gospel. But what happens when this word of Christ hits the ears of sinners who know they are sinners? What happens when it hits the ears of those who know just how unrighteous, unholy, how filthy they are through and through with their sin? What happens when it hits the ears of those who are completely exhausted, trying to save themselves, trying to save everything in their lives by their own sweat and blood, and they keep failing. They keep dying to it. They keep trying, and it doesn't work. Do you think they're going to resist this good news? Or are they going to believe it, call upon the name of the Lord, and be saved? And you know the power of this word, because it has happened to you. Whether you were 5 months old or 50 years old, when you were baptized and you heard these words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen," the Holy Spirit took those words that you heard and created faith. Faith that unites you with Jesus in his death and resurrection, and you are saved. Think about all the times you have heard the word of Christ from me, from Pastor Mark, from other pastors, from other leaders, from any Christian. And you hear it, and the Holy Spirit takes that word and creates faith in you, in Jesus, and his loving work for you. Think about what we're going to do just now. Think about the words you're going to hear. Take and eat, take and drink. This is the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin. And you hear these words, and look at that. The Holy Spirit creates faith in you that trusts you are receiving what Jesus is giving you, forgiveness of sin. So that's why Paul concludes, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." So what do we do? What do we do with those who still resist, still reject, do not respond? Well, I remember a while back at my last congregation doing a devotion based on our gospel reading, the parable of the sower. And you know, I told them, people, they just focus so much on the soils and the responses, and you know, just people become obsessed. Well, how do we cultivate the soil so that they're not resistant to it, and they'll grow, we'll have that harvest? And I asked them, is that the most important part of this parable? And I said, well, I believe that the most important part of this parable is right at the beginning. Sower went out to sow. He just takes his hand, just takes another one, and he keeps on doing it. And that's what I said was the most important part. Keep sowing the seed. What's the Lord's response to those who resist the word of Christ? He keeps sending out those who have the word of Christ. He keeps sending out you. He keeps sending out me. He keeps sending out all of God's people to sow the seed, to share the good news, to share the salvation of Jesus Christ. And if they resist you, guess what? He's probably going to send someone else. And if they resist them, he's probably going to send someone else. You see, because we believe that the word of Christ is all powerful, we can share the word of Christ. Because we trust that it's God alone that can turn resistance into faith that saves. So 22 years, that's how long this member of this church shared the gospel, and his neighbor just kept pushing him and pushing him. Until one morning they sat there and his neighbor said to him, "I want to go to church with you this weekend." And a few months later, he was baptized. He was saved. That's not always going to be the case. The tension is there for others and for us. But we trust that the word of Christ will not return back to him empty. It will accomplish what it purposes. We trust that the word of Christ is living and active. We trust the word of Christ definitely has the power to save. Amen.